And that, without a question of a doubt, is one of the greatest moments among many great moments in Pittsburgh Steelers history. Santonio Holmes making really an impossible catch to bring the Steelers from behind in a game that had many memorable plays to win Super Bowl 43. And it's our great pleasure to welcome Santonio Holmes to Savernon Sports. Quite a day yesterday, Santonio, when you announced and Art Rooney II announced that you were going to retire as a Pittsburgh Steeler. And I know you got a lot of people to thank, but I have to ask you, you know, you spent as much time as a Jet as you did a Steeler, but I guess there's an old saying around here, once you're a Pittsburgh guy, you're always a Pittsburgh guy, no matter where you go. And is that why you wanted to retire as a Steeler?
No doubt. The minute I left Pittsburgh, it was still inside of me that the heart of a champion, you know, never departs. No matter where it goes, he's always going to bleed, you know, where he became a champion at. And there's no doubt, you know, that I wanted to become a Pittsburgh Steeler as a kid. And even to finally get to announce myself as a retired Pittsburgh Steeler is a tremendous honor and a dream come true.
Is it something where you had to contact the Steelers and say, hey, is this okay with you?
Yes. Yes, you have to contact the organization. And, you know, they gave me the green light and said that it was okay. They would love to have me, you know, retire as a Steeler. And I'm here today.
You know, it's interesting. You know, we talk about that game and we'll get into that. But I've talked to so many players who have decided if they don't live here, there's always a special connection after they retired. And I would imagine when you win a championship, that sort of cements the bond between you, the teammates, the coaching staff, all the support staff, and really with the city, that winning a championship makes all the difference.
Oh, no doubt. And this is why giving the thank yous to all of the head coaches who were there with me from the beginning, back as a young high schooler. You know, Coach Ray McDonald and Mickey Freeman were two of my high school coaches who would sit in the back of the room and help me study the plays and learn how to play wide receiver from afar, because we had stunning guys who were in front of me, you know, tremendous athletes, and those were the starters. So I had to learn how to become just like those guys or even better. Coach Willie Bueno, he was our head coach at the time, and he taught me about accountability and how to be accountable for my words and my actions, and they would ultimately lead me to where I wanted to be at in life. Larry Antonacci was our offensive coordinator back in high school, and God rest his soul. He just passed away a few months ago.
I'm sorry.
Of cancer. And he, you know, brought everything out of us as receivers because he had given us opportunities to move all over the field and learn how to play each position as a receiver, whether it was the X, the Y, the Z, or the W, you know, position. And that allowed me to learn the game more and more and more, to know that I had to become an all-around receiver in order to be taken into college, you know, and to be a deep threat or any part of a threat to being a great college receiver. And thank you to Coach Tressel, you know, for reaching out and seeing that this young kid from Belgrade who had potential to run a 4.3 40 and was just as skinny as a stick, you know, but he knew he was one hell of a player. My high school stats proved, you know, that I was a good player. I averaged two catches every game, two to three catches a game, and I ended up with like 11 touchdowns my senior year with 30 catches. So if you do the math and divide that, you know, that's a tremendous number to only have a few amount of catches.
Now, to this day, do you ever wear a sweater vest in honor of Coach Tressel? No, I didn't think so.
Coach Tressel knows I honor him and everything that he's taught me and how to become a professional, a college player. He taught me how to speak out in public and to not use words that were irrelevant in communicating to others so that they got a full understanding of what you were trying to say and not ad-lib words that did not belong into the conversation. Coach Hazel, oh man, he was my wide receivers coach at Ohio State, and he and I were two people that just didn't get along very well because he worked me till literally I sweated every day. There was no days that I was not leaving out of practice sore or even sweating or even upset because he's made me run this particular route 25 times today in practice and I've caught every one of them, but he still wants to see me run it again because he wants to put it on a clinic tape for the young receivers to be able to watch this in the future. So I didn't understand that, you know, at the time, that, look, you're running me too much that I need to be prepared for Saturdays on game day. But he helped mold me into a complete guy that was able to play through, you know, broken ribs come week five of the 08 season to becoming a Super Bowl champion at the end of that year. Coach Daniels, Joe Daniels, was a great guy. You know, God rest his soul.
Pittsburgh guy.
Exactly. I was about to say that. He's a Pittsburgh guy. And he coached me. He was my first wide receiver coach at Ohio State. And he taught me that confidence that we had to have in attacking the football and to not be afraid of it. So we used to have to walk and catch 12 passes out of the jugs machine, and the last one had to be us standing right in front of the jug machine and had to catch it as soon as it came out. And that built that grip confidence that we can't allow any of our guys to rip the ball away from us or be distracted at any point in time. And now we're on to the Pittsburgh Steelers and thanking the head coach, Coach Cower. That name speaks for itself, and it rings a bell in the history of only being, what, three or four head coaches in the history of the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Well, three in the last since – they've had three head coaches since 1969, which is, of course, you know, Chuck Knoll, Bill Cower, and now Mike Tomlin. I wanted to ask you, Santonio, what was your relationship with Bill like? Because I'm going to ask you to, you know, compare the styles eventually of Bill Cower and Mike Tomlin, both very successful, but certainly different in their styles.
Coach was on his way out. He had just won the Super Bowl, so he was much more relaxed when it was my time to meet up with him and play for him. But watching him as a kid and seeing the frustrations that he had on his face over the years and becoming a fan in 1995 when they lost the Super Bowl against the Dallas Cowboys, that my dream was to, if I could just play for that guy and help his team win a Super Bowl, like, it would probably put a big smile on this guy's face. And he was fortunate enough to draft me the year after they won the Super Bowl.
Right.
But I was very much welcome to come and play in this organization because I knew that being a high school state champion and being a college national champion, that there was no doubt that I was coming to a championship team, a championship city, and a championship organization that only wants to win. And they know how to win, and it's proven that they do win. So having Coach Cower's style my first year, it was very much laid back, and he just wanted to see us work. And it was very unfortunate that we had lost Ben earlier that year to a motorcycle accident. So I wasn't able to really enjoy, you know, coming into my rookie year with the team and with the Super Bowl quarterback. It wasn't until, you know, a few weeks into the season that he was able to come on for us.
And, of course, 07, Mike Tomlin's first year. You made the playoffs, and the timing is very poor. Lost to Jacksonville. That has a familiar ring, unfortunately. And then you build toward the Super Bowl year. What was your chemistry like with Ben? Most receivers have to prove themselves to a quarterback before they begin to trust him. Did you find that was necessary, that you had to develop a rapport and a chemistry and build trust and faith with him? Because he already had Hines as his primary guy.
No doubt. Hines taught me how to play the game alongside him and to be a professional. I'm not going to get a pass every play, but if I can do these little things like run this route to get open, it will pull the defense. It will allow other players to get open. And becoming a professional, I really had to learn that because I was so accustomed to, when I'm open, throw me the ball. Don't, like, throw it to somebody else because I created a play for them to make it happen. But I really had to learn that, and that's where Ben and I's trust became more of a bond, to where he understood that, okay, Tone's going to sacrifice himself for this team. I know I can trust this guy. And that relationship stuck amongst myself, 85, Hines Ward, Nate Washington, and Hines Ward, and Heath Miller. So I think we had a really good group of guys, core, who made a very big impact in helping Ben and, you know, propelling his career.
That's a lesson some people haven't learned, even though they've been around here for a while. Santonio Holmes is our guest. He's now officially retired as a Pittsburgh Steelers, and glad to have him on the show. And something I've always wondered, that amazing drive against Arizona, people tend to forget that the first play of the drive was a holding penalty. So the drive was actually longer because on the very first play, there was a hold on that play. So you had virtually the entire length of the field. And I'm wondering if there was anything said in the huddle either before the first play and the hold or after the hold, which made it first and 20, made it that much more difficult.
This is where the trust of Coach Aarons came in. He trusted us as players that we knew how to handle this situation. Roethlisberger came back to the huddle and told everybody, no worries, calm down, one play at a time. That's all we need to focus on is one play at a time. And I was excited. You know, first pass come to me, boom, Coach Aarons must have heard me on the sideline when I told Ben that, hey, I want the ball. Like, I don't, no disrespect to the other guys, but right now, I want the ball. I want to be great. This is the time for me to be great. And the reason for that outburst before that game and watching Fitzgerald run down the sideline was contributed to those two high school state championships that I had won. But I didn't do anything in those games. National championship, 2002, Ohio State versus Miami. I didn't do anything in those games, but I was a champion. But when it came down to being the NFL champion, this is the time that you have to show these people why you're here and what you're capable of doing. And that was the time for me to be great. And Coach Aarons, he believed in it from the day that he worked me after drafting me here. He worked me every day to running those out routes and catching balls from Ben on the sideline and just understanding, hey, Ben, wherever you throw it at, you let me know where you like to throw these balls at, and I will practice on catching these balls in that position because now we can build a trust amongst each other that wherever you throw it at, I should know why you threw it in that position, and I should have no excuse by coming back and saying, why did you throw the ball behind me? Because it's that chemistry that you have to build amongst yourselves and receiver and quarterback that he has to know where to throw the football and trust you that you're going to know why he threw the football, you know, in that particular place.
One last question about that play. Were you the primary receiver on the play? I seem to remember him looking around. Or were you the guy? Is it one of those cases where maybe they doubled Hines and that helped you out?
Coach Fiedner told me that in this particular play, you're going to be the primary guy. But every time we threw this particular play in practice, it was always incomplete. So how do you become the primary guy and catch an incomplete pass every time? And
so practice doesn't make perfect necessarily.
I will have to stick with practice does make perfect because we practiced that play from week one of the playoffs until the last night that we had practice before the Super Bowl. And we never completed that pass, not one time. And we called this play one time in the Super Bowl.
That was the only time that play was called?
I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, no, B.A. did not just call this play. This play has been knocked down, it's been overthrown, short thrown, out of bounds, intercepted, and you call this play right now. And you know when you call this play, 6 yard line, 6 yards, 6 yards. And we completed this pass to win the Super Bowl, which is one of the greatest moments in the history of the game.
Keeping your feet in bounds, is that something that a receiver consciously thinks of, or is that just ingrained through repetition that you don't even you don't have time to think and say, all right, make sure you get your feet. I mean, you have to concentrate on catching the ball, right? I mean, you look like you were 6'8". You went up so high to get that thing.
Just like the organization have a peripheral vision of what they see in the perspective vision of what they expect from each and every individual that they bring into their organization, your duty as a wide receiver is to have a broad perspective and a bigger vision of seeing how the game plays out before it plays out and how to play the game within the game. Every yard, every inch, every blade of grass, every white line, they all count. Whether we just look at running 10 yards, 6 yards, 8 yards, 20 yards, 50 yards, it's still a line that we have to cross. And as a receiver, you have to know where every one of those lines are, from the little hash marks in between every 5 yards to the field goal post lines that separate the middle of the field and the goal line that separates from from 1 yard line to the back of the end zone. You have to know exactly where each one of those points are on the football field. And that allows you to become, you know, one of the greats, to know that your quarterback can trust you no matter where you're playing out on the field.
And last thing for you, Santonio, now that you've retired officially as a Steeler, are we going to see you around here a bit more often?
The Steelers have welcomed me back here, and, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to trying to spend some time here. But first, I'll finish up my bachelor's degree at Ohio State.
Good for you.
And then I would definitely dedicate some of my time to being around this organization. I love it here. Like I said, I finished with the thank yous to the Rooneys, you know, for just giving me this blessing. God rest, you know, Dan Soul, that I was his last Super Bowl MVP. And to know that this is a moment that I have to share with the organization as a whole and with myself, to know that we didn't part on the best of terms after being a Super Bowl MVP and traded, but the love and the character is still here from both sides, from myself accepting that it was a business acquisition that had to go down, and the organization understanding that business is always business and is nothing personal. So to know that the love and the respect is still there for Kevin Colbert accepting me after the first phone call of announcing that I'm going to be drafted as a Pittsburgh Steeler, to accepting my phone call saying we would love to have you, you know, retire as a Pittsburgh Steeler, it really opened up, you know, a lot of doors. I thank you to my mom, you know, for sticking with me, you know, all these years and just allowing me to go out and play in the yard and become a football player. Because that's what I had dreamed I would be one day. And all my dreams have come true, and they're all set free.
It's a great ending to a great story. You will always be a huge part of the Steeler legacy. Santonio, thanks for the time today. And, again, congratulations. Welcome home.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm welcome.
Santonio Holmes has been our guest on Saverin on Sports. Much more for you from a bit of the past, recent past, to the present and the future. Jerry Dulac will be joining us talking about the Steelers and the big game in Kansas City on Sunday. That's all ahead today on Saverin on Sports.